Welcome back to Retraced Echoes. As always, I'm your host. My name is Bert. So a little bit of the behind the scenes as far as what I do week in, week out before we jump right into our story. I kind of want to explain what's going to happen in today's podcast, but one of the biggest questions that I receive is, where do you get a lot of the information that you have on some of these hauntings? And if it's a newer haunting, so we're talking something that's happened within the last 20 years, sometimes you can find interviews on TV shows, or you might be able to find, if it's the people still interviewing, is on podcasts. A lot of times I'll take their exact words and the stories that they provide to create the podcast. Sometimes if you use information from television shows, they can be Hollyweirded. That's probably the best way to put it. So the reason I explain all that is today's podcast, we're going to be talking about a haunted location that's not just one family, but an entire family and then someone who bought the house after. So I have no interviews to go off of. The beginning of this podcast is simply going to be the stories that has been told. I think it's an amazing story. And then towards the end of the podcast, we're going to be taking interviews that the current owner has provided, and we're going to be sprinkling those into the podcast. So the words that you hear towards the end or any of the podcasts where it's a different person talking, I'm literally taking their quotes and I'm putting them in the podcast. That way you can hear their wording as far as what happened, and there's none of that Hollywood trickery. But hopefully you enjoy today's podcast. If you've not hit that glorious subscribe button on the YouTube machine, please do. We're at 7630 as of today. 7,630 of you that have decided to click that subscribe button, which I definitely appreciate. But let's stop talking about it. Let's be about it. Let's go. Today, we step inside a house where the walls whisper secrets of the past. And the shadows, they move when you're not looking. Nestled in the quiet town of Hinsdale, New York, the Dandy House has become a beacon of supernatural phenomena, drawing the curious as well as the brave into its embrace. Our journey into its haunted history begins in the summer of 1973, when the Dandy family first crossed its threshold. They were completely unaware of the chilling events that were soon to unfold. The Dandy family discovered a listing for a seemingly idyllic home perfectly suited for their needs. Now, the home was over 100 years old, but it still retained its original ornate woodwork, which exuded charm as well as elegance that was hard to overlook. Now, as the children of the Dandy family explored the nearby woods, Mr. and Mrs. Dandy continued their tour of the property. Their exploration brought them to a very curious storage space that was found beneath the stairs. The door? It was initially stuck, but with some effort from Mr. Dandy, it came right open. Inside, they found a dusty room that had a fireplace that seemed somewhat out of character when you compare it to the rest of the house. Now, Miss Dandy would later say, "I wasn't sure why, but I felt very uneasy when we opened that storage space. Couldn't put my finger on it, but it was dark and desolate. Not at all like the rest of the house." Now, despite her initial reservations, Clara quickly dismissed these feelings. She said the creepy factor was probably based on the fact that she grew up in the city. She also had not really seen a storage room like this. Now, once they closed the space and continued the tour, her sense of peace, it returned. Now, eventually, the Dandy family decided they couldn't resist the rustic charm of the 100-year-old home. They just had to purchase it. As the Dandy family embarked on this new life, their moving day had some very strange occurrences. Clara's brother arrived hours before the family to help start unloading. His entrance into the new home was met with a very unsettling welcome. As he pushed the door open, he was bombarded by a flurry of bees and flies that was striking him in his face. Determined, he brushed past and he set down a box in the main room, only to discover a very disturbing sight. The floor was littered with hundreds, maybe thousands, of dead bees. And the windows, they were coated with even more that were still alive. The chill in the air made this infestation even more bizarre. Now, he didn't know a whole lot about country living, but instinctively, he knew that such a scene was out of the ordinary, especially for this time of year. When Claire and the family arrived, they were met with the alarming news. The move? It had to be paused. They had to call an exterminator, and they needed one ASAP. The exterminator, once he got there, was in complete disbelief. He said, "I've never seen anything like this. So many bees and flies in one place this time of year. It's not normal for them to swarm or infest just like this." Now, after a lot of time, he was able to clear up the insects and the family. They could finally settle into their new home. Yet, the eerie occurrence, it lingered in their mind, a foreboding sign of the mysteries that the house might still hold. As the weeks unfolded, the Dandy family, they kind of got used to the whole country living thing. They found a little bit of peace and tranquility in the surroundings, and their relationship between all of them, they started to find some peace in that home. But as the saying goes, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Not long after living there, Mike Dandy made friends with a boy from a neighboring property. As most boys do, they decide they want to go out into the woods that surrounded the property. They was eager to uncover its secrets, see what kind of grand adventure they could go on. Now that adventure, it took a very startling turn when they heard footsteps in the leaves. The leaves were rustling, frozen by the possibility that there could be a bear. They hid behind a large tree, peering from around its trunk, trying to discover what was there. Now, to their astonishment, it wasn't a bear at all. It was a boy, slightly older than them, and he was carrying a rifle. They called out to him, declaring the land was private. They wanted to know why he was there, and as they closed the distance, a chilling realization stopped them cold. The boy, he was not only transparent, but he also had a very ghastly wound. Half of his head, it was missing. Undeterred, the ghostly figure, it continued its march, taking deep, echoing breaths. Mike and his friend followed, drawn by a mixture of fear as well as fascination. They reached a small lake where, in the blink of an eye, the apparition and vanished right into the ether. Speechless and bewildered, the boys raced back to the Dandy house. They were eager to share their terrifying encounter. Without even taking a breath, they recounted their story to Claire, who listened with a skeptic's ear. She dismissed their tale as a product of just an overactive imagination. She couldn't even fathom the reality her son and his friend faced in that shadowy woods. A few weeks went by, and Clara's memory of her son's overactive imagination kind of faded into the background of daily life. So one crisp afternoon, she decided to take Madison, the family dog, for a walk in those same very woods where he had his experience. She wanted to find some peace. She wanted to get some of that fresh country air. As she ventured deeper into the forest, an unsettling sound began to permeate the air. Clara, she stopped dead in her tracks. Her senses was heightened. What she was hearing was a chanting. Eerie, disembodied chanting. Seemed to be coming from all directions, yet originating from none. The sound grew more intense as she focused on it. Madison, the family dog, she began to growl. Then, she began to bark. Suddenly overwhelmed by fear and perhaps just primal instinct, Madison broke free of Claire and bolted straight for the house. Obviously, Claire's now chasing after her. She's in a complete panic, and she only stopped when she reached the very front door. Panting and disoriented, she took a moment to collect herself before she headed inside. Now, once she was safe inside the walls of her own home, Claire called her husband. She was looking for comfort, maybe an explanation. However, much like her initial reaction to her son's story, Her story was also dismissed by her husband. He suggested that maybe it was just country living, maybe it was affecting her even more than she would even realize, and perhaps the sound was just a product of her adjusting to the new environment. Funny how that works. Well, if her husband doesn't believe her, who does she turn to? She turns to good old Mike. Mike had a story, now she has a story. Frustrated, she turns to Mike and she tells him all about what she heard while she's making dinner that evening. She talked about the sound and the chanting and how it was so mysterious. She asked Mike what he thought, and he said, after thinking for a little bit, well, maybe it was some campers over at a campground that wasn't very far from the property line. The more Claire thought about this, though, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. It was such a weird sound for her to hear, and that didn't seem to be noises that a typical camper would make. Driven by a blend of curiosity and concern, Mike returned to the woods. They wanted to try to investigate the source of where would this chanting come from? The very chanting that Clara could not explain. They made their way to a lookout point. It was kind of a clearing to where they could see to where all the campers were. They wanted to see what they could hear. And as they got there, they heard no laughter, no chatter. In fact, no sign of life. Now, none of this made any sense to them. Where is it that their mom would have heard this eerie chanting? If there's no campers there, what is it that she heard? Confounded by the lack of evidence, the boys began their way back home. Their minds was racing with all sorts of unanswered questions. Suddenly, out of nowhere, they hear the ominous sound of an axe hitting a tree. Now, this shattered the silence, completely startled them. Before they could even process this brand new fright, this sound, a woman's scream pierced the air just to their left. Now, this scream, it filled the boys with complete terror. It propelled them into a frenzied sprint. They ran as fast as their little legs could carry them all the way back to the house. Now, the whole way that they was running, the sounds was coming from behind them. They could hear the screams, and it went all the way until they burst through the very doors of the Nandy home. They were gasping for air and shaking to their very cores. Mike and Matt, they now truly knew what terror was. They was completely terrified. Mike, he was completely distressed. He was struggling to make sense of, for one, what just happened to him, what happened to him before, and now his mother's unexplained experience. None of it made any kind of sense. Once they got to Claire and they told their entire story of what just happened, a very chilling realization, it dawned on both of them. With no rational explanation, as well as the increased frequency of these disturbing occurrences, fear, it firmly took root. Now, with a chill creeping down their spines, Mike and Claire found themselves facing the undeniable truth that something beyond their understanding was happening in the shadowy depths of the woods surrounding their very home. Now, months had passed since the initial spine-chilling occurrence, and life of the Dandy household, it kind of settled into some form of normal living. Despite the oddities, the family's day-to-day interactions remained somewhat happy, allowing the memories of the eerie occurrences to fade into the background, especially for Clara. Now, not very long after this, Phil, which is known as Mr. Dandy, decided to take the children, Mike and Tina, to Buffalo for a little bit of a change of scenery. Now, Clara, she wanted to stay behind. She had just gotten a brand new book. So, as the family left, let me set the scene for you. As the family left, she nestled into the couch with this latest book. And it was a novel that she was so eager to dive into. There was a gentle breeze right beside her that was kind of wafting through the open windows, and that was carrying the scent of blooming flowers that was coming from their very own garden. She was so engrossed in the story. She was abruptly pulled from the pages when the window right next to her slammed shut with a startling force. She jumped up, her heart racing. She went to go investigate. The breeze, though warm and inviting, it was not strong enough to close the window, and especially not as violently as it had been closed. Moreover, the windows, they were fairly new, and this was not something that brand new window should have happen. They shouldn't be slammed with that much force. Again, something that made no sense. It didn't take much longer in the future for there to be more occurrences. Late one night, the quiet of the Dandy household was shattered by an unexplainable disturbance. Mike, who was deep in sleep in his room, was jolted awake when a sudden weight hit his chest. Startled, he found a box containing a chess game that had somehow fallen from the storage shelf above his bed. Rubbing his eyes, he looked up, trying to rationalize the fall by checking to see if maybe it was just a little bit too close to the edge, as though there was some type of a logical reason. However, as his gaze fixed on the shelf, his blood turned cold. Several more boxes had slowly inched towards the edge. It was almost as though it was pushed by unseen hands. Before it could even process the eerie movement, the lowest of the boxes, so the one on the very bottom, suddenly shot out, striking him with undeniable force. Terrified, Mike sat up, gasping for air, his mind racing, trying to come up with some type of a logical explanation. How could a box have been propelled with such precision without disturbing any of the other boxes unless it was deliberately done by, in this case, something completely unseen? In a complete panic, he called out into the darkness. It did not take Claire very long to show up in his doorway. Her face, it was etched with concern. Now, despite her scientific and logical mindset, the scene before her was completely baffling. None of it made any kind of sense. Now, as she stepped closer to examine the pile of boxes that was above his head, another box from a completely different pile across the room suddenly was thrown into the air, and it was aimed with unsettling accuracy. Now, the sight of that airborne box, it was enough to send them both into a complete state of panic. With screams echoing through the house, Mike and Claire made a frantic dash from that very room, overwhelmed by the fear that the home that they had grown to love, well, to them, it was turning against them in the most haunting of ways imaginable. Now, in the wake of the terrifying events, Claire's mind was racing. She was trying to connect the dots between what was happening inside of her home and what was happening outside in the woods. Fear gripped her heart as she considered that possibly whatever dark presence lurked in the forest was not just observing, but it also infiltrated their lives, manifesting its malevolence within the very walls of their home. Now, determined to confront this unseen threat, Claire reached out to a local authority in spiritual matters. She was hoping that faith could provide the answers and protection that they desperately needed. She ended up contacting Father Alphonse. Now, after hearing of the disturbing events, Father Alphonse suggested that the disturbances, they might be the work of poltergeist. However, the intelligence behind the occurrences made Clara very skeptical of a very simple explanation. Now, despite her doubts, the need for expert intervention, it was undeniable. Arrangements were made, and on the ominous date of April 13, 1975, the father arrived at the Dandy house to perform a cleansing ritual. As the family and the priest gathered, there was obvious tension that was in the air. No sooner than the father began to recite his prayers that a series of wails and moans swept throughout the entire house, almost as though the very structure was protesting the intrusion. As the father worked his way around the house, all of a sudden an odor came, almost as though it came from the very walls. This, it added fear to everyone that was in the home. The climax of the cleansing came when the father approached the very crawl space, the one that we know from the very beginning of the story, the one that was beneath the stairs, the epicenter of the initial disturbances. His prayers, they grew louder, his voice steady against the backdrop of all of the chaotic sounds. Then, as suddenly as it all had began, a profound silence descended upon the home. The very oppressive atmosphere that they all felt, it was lifted, leaving a sense of peace that had long been absent. It seemed at last as though the very entities that haunted the Dandy home were now banished, leaving behind a home cleansed of its dark past. Father Alphonse, having completed the cleansing ritual, he gathered all of his belongings, he shared his heartfelt goodbyes, and with that, he departed for the evening. The family, they were relieved. They were hopeful. They truly believed that they had turned a corner from whatever this nightmarish experience was, and for a time, there was peace within the walls of the home. Life somewhat returned to some form of normal. But there's always a but in these stories. Exactly 3 months later, as if ordained by some sinister force mocking the Holy Trinity, the newfound tranquility was shattered. On a night when Phil was away on a business trip, Clara, she was jolted awake by an unnerving sound that chilled her to her very soul. It was a series of sharp knocks, echoing from within the very walls. Each thud was like a sinister heartbeat growing louder in the quiet of the night. As Clara hesitantly left her bed to investigate the knocks, they were soon joined by whispers. Whispers that seemed to call out to her, guiding her through the dimly lit hallway and down the stairs. It was right there, by the staircase, that the ghostly figure of a young girl appeared. With small steps, the apparition made its way right into the crawl space, the site of the previous horrors, and disappeared behind the door as it closed with a soft, ominous thud. With her heart pounding against her chest, Clara mustered every bit of courage she had to follow that ghostly spirit. Standing beside the crawl space door, she took a deep breath. She braced herself, and then she pulled the door open. But to her dismay, there was nothing. No sign of the ghostly visitor. Just a cold, empty space staring back at her. Shaken, Clara climbed the stairs to her daughter Tina's room, driven by despair, hope that it was all just a misunderstanding, perhaps a dream sparked by her anxieties. Gently, she opened a door to find Tina asleep, undisturbed and peaceful, with no indication that she had been awake at all. The night's events, they left Clara more bewildered and more frightened than ever before. Despite the fact that she brought the priest in, despite the fact that there was a brief period of calm, for her, it was clear that the dark presence still lingered. It was waiting. Perhaps it was biding its time to unleash its full wrath once more. As dawn broke over the Dandy household, the rest of the family, they remained asleep. They had no clue what had happened that very night. Unaware of the nocturnal disturbances, Tina rose early to start her day. She had somewhat of a routine. She had a certain order that she liked to do things in. She would begin by feeding her pet bird. She always loved hearing the chirps as she would get ready for the mornings. However, this morning was different. As Tina reached for her brush to brush her hair, she noticed that her room was unusually quiet. She would take a glance over the cage and she noticed that her pet bird, it was fixated on the very corner of the room where the mirror was. Also, its lively whistles, it was replaced by unsettling stillness. Tina was completely curious. It made no sense. She turned back to her oval mirror to continue brushing her hair, but the reflection that greeted her, it was not her own. In the mirror, the horrifying image of a young girl materialized. Her features were ghastly. Her face was sunken in. Her eyes was hollow. The ghostly image that stared back at Tina stared at her with an intensity that seemed to reach into the very core of her being. Overcome with terror, Tina let out a scream, and just as quickly as this young girl appeared in the mirror, it vanished, and it left no trace of its presence. Now, hearing her daughter's cries, Clara rushed to Tina's room. She found her daughter trembling in the corners, her eyes wide with fear. So she did the only thing that a parent can do. She grabbed a hold of her daughter, trying to offer some form of comfort, her mind racing to understand that the relentless haunting was now just not her or outside in the forest. It seemed to be targeting her children directly. As she tried to console Tina, Claire's resolve hardened. She knew that they could not continue to live under the shadow of such a terror. Something more had to be done to protect her family and to banish whatever this malevolent force was that was invading her home. Clara came to a very stark realization. The priest's blessings, though it was well-intended, did nothing for the home. Whatever was there was still there. And with her family's safety at stake, she wasted no time. Clara reached for the phone and dialed up the father, her voice tense but clear as she recounted exactly what happened to her the night before and what happened to Tina this morning. Now, Father Alphonse, his response was immediate and somewhat sad. Although his schedule was packed, the gravity of the situation, it was not lost. He understood what was going on. He promised to return as soon as he could. And this time, he would not be alone. Recognizing the need for a specialist above and beyond him, he asserted that he would bring some type of a paranormal expert with him when he delved deeper into the haunting and hopefully would devise a more effective solution. As the days stretched on, Claire knew that it would be a little bit of time before the father as well as his expert would be able to come over to the house. So, she came up with a genius idea. It was the weekend. She decided to try to keep things somewhat calm, to not provide extra energy to whatever this is. She and Phil would settle down for a quiet evening with a movie. Mike and Tina, they could go out, hang out with some friends. And all of that was a genius idea until there was a loud crash that echoed from outside. It sliced right through the calm of the movie. Instinctively, Phil and Claire, they exchanged a look. They knew. They knew everything that they'd been going on with for the last few series of months. In this case, years. So they grabbed a flashlight and they hurried outside together, their hearts pounding as they approached the source of the noise with very cautious steps. As they neared the spot, the noise, it erupted again. This time, however, the cause of the disturbance? It was thankfully nothing at all. Just several raccoons that had found their way to the metal trash cans. They were looking for any kind of scraps of food. The cans had toppled over in the search, and it created the alarming sound that brought both Phil and Claire outside running. Relief washed over them as they realized that for once in a very long time, within the last few series of years, the disruption was not another manifestation of the haunting that had gripped their homes. So, they decided, almost with a smile on their face, to walk back. They wanted to continue their movie. They wanted to have somewhat of this normal life. They was enjoying their weekend. But all of that, it was short-lived as Phil and Claire, still on the edge, made their way back to the house. As they approach, in the living room window was an unmistakable figure of a young girl that stared out at them, her presence ghostly against the dim interior light. Without hesitation, they rushed inside, hearts pounding with a mixture of fear and urgency. They sprinted up to Tina's room, where they found her in a disturbing state. Tina sat before her oval mirror, her gaze locked on what was her own reflection. Completely unresponsive to the world around her, her pale eyes, they were now an unnerving shade of black, as if her very soul had been shadowed. Phil and Claire, they called out to her, shaking her. They were trying to get any kind of trace that she was still there, but she seemed to be in a trance. After what seemed like forever, Tina blinked, her eyes returned to normal, and she started looking around. She was confused. She was frightened. She had no memory of how she had gotten home or what had transpired once she got home. And just as the family began to process the terrifying ordeal, a noise from Mike's room caught their attention. Phil. He told Claire and Tina, stay here, stay put, let me go investigate. However, before he could reach Mike's room, there was a ring of the home phone. It was Mike. He was calling to ask if he could stay the night at his friend Randy's house. But once he started hearing the urgency in Claire's voice, as she was recounting the night's frightful events, Mike insisted that he was going to return home. He wanted to support his family. With a sense of urgency, Mike and his friend Randy raced towards the Dandy home. Randy had noticed that Mike's demeanor, it had drastically changed. His hands, they were clammy. They were also trembling as he grabbed the steering wheel. His face, it was completely drained of color. Concerned, Randy asked if there was something wrong, in which Mike replied with a very strained voice, something's happening at the house. Things I can't explain. The gravity of his words, they hung heavy in the car as they sped through the night. As they got to the house, it was almost like a scene out of a horror movie, a complete scene of turmoil. Phil stood there like a man preparing to confront some type of an unseen force, and Claire and Tina, they were freaking out. They was holding each other. They was all standing there just kind of trying to strategize what they were going to do next when all of a sudden, the lights above them began to blink. Then, the lights plunged into complete darkness. The house, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. While they were in complete darkness, there was a series of loud bangs and unsettling scratches that seemed to emanate from the very direction of the crawl space that was beneath the stairs. Phil, flashlight in hand, signaled for his family to stay behind him as he advanced towards the ominous sounds. With each step, the noises intensified, echoing through the already darkened house. The family huddled together watched as Phil reached for the crawlspace door and pulled it open with a very determined yank. Inside, they were confronted by a baffling sight. The old fireplace that had once adorned the room had been meticulously dismantled. Its bricks, they were arranged in a precise, elaborate pile in the center of the crawl space. The sheer physical effort required to dismantle and stack the bricks was beyond human capability. Now, this was a reminder that whatever was within this crawl space, it was not human. It was obvious that the hauntings, they were far from over. With few options left, Claire, her voice trembling and determined, made a very desperate phone call to the father. Upon hearing the urgency in her voice and understanding the absolute direness of the situation, he agreed to come immediately. Instead of waiting a few more days to get everything together, he made his plans to come that very night, accompanied by his paranormal expert. Now, that was no average expert. That was Alex Tennants, a figure well known in the circles of the supernatural. Now, he had psychic abilities that had been rigorously studied by the American Society of Psychic Research, and he had somewhat of a reputation for being able to deal with these malevolent entities. He had a very calm demeanor that, in the Dandy household, was somewhat appreciated. Alex and the father was greeted with a mixture of relief, as well as trepidation from the family as they crossed into the home. Together, they moved through the dimly lit hallways, their steps echoing slightly to a sound that seemed to steer the very air around them. Their first stop was the crawl space, the epicenter of the most recent disturbances and activities. As they approached the door to the small room, a chill seemed to pass through everyone that was there, almost as though the house itself was bracing for the confrontation. Alex, he paused, his senses attuned to the energy swirling from within. The father, he was clutching his crucifix, whispering a prayer of protection and strength. The atmosphere was charged, each breath heavy with anticipation as they prepared to face whatever malevolence was tormenting the Dandy family. Alex was extremely deliberate when he got to the house and now standing in front of this crawl space. He said, I want no information. I don't want anyone to provide me with information about the house or the family or what's going on or what you've experienced. And with that, he stepped into the crawl space. The moment that he crossed over from the doorway, a profound silence seemed to surround the room. Then, without warning, Alex's expression changed. His eyes glazed over, and he was almost like he was stuck in a powerful vision. The family watched, breath held, as he stood motionless. His focus was turned inward. After a tense few moments, Alex came back. He staggered slightly and he walked outside the room, overwhelmed by the intensity of the vision that he had just experienced. He gathered himself, he turned to the family. His face was almost pale. He recounted seeing multiple deceased individuals, their bodies stacked one on top of another within the very space that they now occupied. The revelations scared everyone that was living inside the house. Alex explained that the spirits of those who had died within the home, some of them was of natural causes and others were victims of foul play, and that more than likely, these victims, they were contributing to the haunting. Now his words, they hung heavy within the air, casting a new light on the nature of the disturbances that had plagued the very family that lived here now. Now, even though Alex's revelations about the house and the grim past brought a new understanding to the haunting, he speculated some things that nobody seemed to know. He thought that maybe there was a stagecoach route that had went right by the house, and possibly the house could have functioned as an inn where travelers would stay there and kind of rest up before continuing their journeys. Now, this history took a very dark turn when his further revelations was that the area was possibly also once an area that criminals would prey and target those travelers, leading to many of them to have an untimely and violent death. Now, according to Alex, it was likely that the bodies of those unfortunate souls were temporarily stored within the crawl space, and that was the only shelter available within the vicinity until obviously arrangements could be made for the burial. But this practice, he believed, led to the spirits of these travelers becoming trapped within the home and that they were unable to move on. Alex sensed the presence of seven distinct spirits, each one echoing some type of turmoil about the violence of their demise. Now, following the visit from the father and Alex, the atmosphere within the home, it seemed much lighter, as if the weight had been lifted, yet not everyone was convinced by the explanation that was provided. In fact, Mike and Randy, they were driven by a blend of curiosity, and they didn't necessarily believe everything they heard, so there was a little bit of skepticism. So they decided to delve deeper into the history Alex had suggested had occurred on that property. Now, using an old map of the area, they traced what they believed was the remnants of the old stagecoach route that Alex had mentioned. Now, it appeared to pass directly by their house, and that led a little bit of credence to exactly what Alex said as far as the theory of the house's historical use of as maybe as like a stopover point. However, they kept following the trail back. Something unexplainable happened that evening. Mysterious orbs of light, they flickered amongst the trees and they were moving erratically, almost as though they was trying to draw them in closer. And as the orb seemed to get somewhat far away and they would get close to the orb, it would surge towards them. Now, Randy, he was unaccustomed to such a phenomenon and he was overwhelmed by fear, which obviously as they came back to the house, it ended up being a panic attack for him. Now, with Mike's help, Randy managed to regain some form of composure, but the incident left both of them shaken. The late hour of the day's evenings weighed heavily on everyone, and the decision was made for Randy to stay overnight, given his state as well as the late hour. Now, while the rest of the family eventually found their way to sleep, Claire, she sat alone in the dim light of the living room, tears streaming down her face. The haunting, despite the efforts of the religious and paranormal experts, it continued to torment her family. She felt a deep helplessness, believing that they had exhausted all options. The realization that they were financially tethered to the house, with every last dime that they have invested, left her feeling trapped, left her feeling desperate. As the night deepened, she contemplated their bleak future, the quiet sobs eventually giving way to the tearful sleep. The morning light did little to lift the heavy mood in the Dandy home, but life, it insisted on moving forward. Mike, carrying the weight of the previous night's eerie encounter, drove Randy home, eager to put some distance between him and the unsettling events. However, as hours stretched without even a single word from Mike, a gnawing worry began to take somewhat of a root over the family. The knock at the door jolted everyone. Claire, already on edge, she felt her heart sink as she saw a police officer standing on the very doorstep. His expression, it confirmed her fears. Something had gone terribly wrong. The officer informed them that there was an accident involving Mike, and they urgently needed to get to the hospital, and they needed to get to the hospital quick. And with frantic speed, the family rushed to the hospital, their minds racing with dreadful possibilities. At the hospital, the gravity of the situation kind of unfolded. Mike had lost control of his vehicle and veered into the ditch. The impact was severe. He was now in emergency surgery with critical injuries, including a ruptured spleen and significant blood loss. The Dandy family, they huddled together in the waiting room. Each member was kind of lost in their own world of fear and prayer for Mike's recovery. Their distress was deepened by the officer's further explanation. You see, after safely dropping off Randy, Mike was on his way back to the house when the entire accident had occurred. Strangely, when he was loaded into the ambulance, Mike insisted that there was another person that was in the car with him. Now, despite his critical state, which might have explained possible confusion or delirium, the officers had conducted a thorough search of the area. No trace of another passenger was found, deepening the mystery and adding to the chilling layer of what was already a very spooky situation. The revelation that Mike might not have been alone, combined with his cryptic mention of another presence, it sent a shiver right down Claire's spine. It echoed the unexplained phenomena that was happening at their home, suggesting that the haunting, it may have reached beyond the confines of their house, weaving itself into the fabric of their very lives. Now, the hospital, it became a second home for the Dandy family as they kept a constant vigil over Mike's bedside. Days blurred into nights, filled with anxious prayers and hopeful whispers. Finally, after 2 weeks, a miracle occurred. Mike, he emerged from his coma. Relief washed over the family, but it was tempered by the discovery that Mike could not recall any of the events that led up to the accident. The gaps in his memory, it left a painful void, and questions lingered, very much unanswered. Clara, the ever-protective mother, she wrestled with her own theories about the mysterious circumstances surrounding the crash. She couldn't shake the feeling that this malevolent presence they've been dealing with for so much that had tormented their entire family, that wasn't somehow involved. Now, this belief was only strengthened by Mike's last confession right before he was even rushed into surgery, insisting that someone else had been in the car that the police just could not account for. Now, as Mike began his slow progress of recovery, Claire couldn't help but be convinced that this dark force that had infiltrated their home was now extending its range and endangering her son's life into a tangible, terrifying way. The accident, she believed, was no mere twist of fate, but a direct manifestation of the haunting that refused to release its grip on their very family. Determined to protect her loved ones and rid their lives of the persistent nightmare, Claire began to research more aggressively, seeking out experts in the paranormal field who might offer some insights or maybe even some solutions. Each step that she took was driven by a mix of fear and fierce determination. The mother within her, it was unwilling to let this unseen enemy claim any more ground. Now, months they had passed since Mike's accident, and his recovery, though steady, it was slow. The shadows within the Dandy home, They seemed only to deepen, with unexplained occurrences becoming more frequent and more intense. Driven to her limits, Claire reached out to the father yet again, as well as Alex, pleading for more help in a final attempt to cleanse the home from the malevolent forces that had been haunting their family now for years. So, of course, the father and Alex, they came yet again. But this time, they had a different plan. Third time's a charm. This time, they insisted on conducting the cleansing alone, believing that with their focused energy, their expertise, that was going to be crucial to the success of the ritual. As they moved from room to room, Alex again was overtaken by visions that pierced through the veils one more time. In his trance, Alex saw the echoes of the past lives that still lingered within the walls. Among the spirits, he identified a young man, a soldier who had fallen in the battle that was raging near the property, his spirit anchored by the violence of his death. Another vision revealed a young girl who had succumbed to a severe illness in what was now Tina's room. Her suffering, it kept her tethered to the place of her very pain. Now, most ominously, Alex encountered the spirit of a woman, her presence overpowering and very dark. This spirit was filled with anger and resentment, emotions so strong they seemed to dominate the spiritual landscape of the house. She was possessive and depressive, her anger and death as potent as it had been in life. Alex and the father, they conducted that she was the key to the hauntings, the one who held herself and others bound to that very house. The father, being armed with this knowledge, he intensified his prayers, invoking peace and trying to release all the trapped spirits, but especially that of the angry woman. Alex, channeling his psychic energy, he tried to communicate with her. He tried to persuade her to just let go of the anger, to move on, to release the others from her bitter grasp. As the ritual reached its climax, the house seemed to pulse with energy, the air charged with a tangible tension. The family, waiting very anxiously outside, could only hope that this final effort would bring peace to their home and an end to their nightmare. Recognizing the extraordinary circumstances and desperate for resolution, the father opted for a slightly unorthodox method. He decided to adapt the rites of exorcism typically reserved for individuals to maybe go more in the direction of the house itself. His theory was that the potent cleansing power of these rites could direct and possibly purge the home of any of the malevolent forces that had taken root within the walls. So, with the family gathered on the outside, the father began to adapt the exorcism rites. He moved throughout the entire house, his voice steady and commanding as he recited the powerful prayers. With each verse, the intensity of his words grew, mirroring the escalating forces within the house. Things started getting a little bit on the scary side. The structure itself responded with tremors as if protesting against the cleansing words. The air, it was filled with the same horrific moans and the wails that had haunted the very first cleansing. Now, they were returning with even greater loudness, even greater appeal. You could hear it from the outside of the house. From the outside, they heard the very bangs, the knocks, the scratches, the very phenomena that had tormented them for years, and it was magnified, as if the spirits were resisting the very exorcism that was occurring within its walls. Hour after grueling hour, the father, he persevered, his faith unwavering despite the chaos unfolding around him. Finally, as the first light of dawn began to filter through the darkness, the rites concluded. A profound silence fell over the house, starkly against the previous loud sounds and the feeling in the charged atmosphere. As the dust settled, so to speak, both literally and metaphorically, an eerie calm came over the home. Exhausted but hopeful, the father stepped outside to join the family. His face, it was weary, It's almost like they were all standing out there just waiting to see what the house was going to say. Almost as though they was waiting for the last shoe to drop. He had been at it all night long. But as they stepped inside, the oppressive air seemed to have lifted, and for the very first time in years, the house felt like just that, a structure of wood and stone. It didn't feel like it was a haunted location anymore. I wish I could say there was a happy ending after this. It feels like there should be a happy ending right here. For 3 months, the Dandy home was a haven of peace and normal everyday life. The family cherished every quiet moment, embracing a life free from that oppressive haunting that had once clouded their every day. They began to heal, to rebuild the bonds that had been strained by the unrelenting supernatural forces that was occurring within the walls. The house, it was just a normal house for them. They seemed to have finally shed what little bit of dark clouds they had over the home. But there's always a but. As it had become before and all too familiar, the peace was merely the calm before the storm. Just when the Dandy family dared to hope that their nightmare was truly over, the haunting resurfaced with a vengeance. It was as if the malevolent spirit was again just biding its time, had regained strength to manifest once again, tearing apart the very fragile tranquility of their home. Overwhelmed and heartbroken, the family faced the very harsh reality that they couldn't live here anymore. They knew that the haunting would never stop. So despite trying to go any deeper down the rabbit hole and potentially putting themselves in harm's way, they made the very difficult decision to sell the property. But just like everything else, they couldn't find a buyer. The house had now had a reputation for being haunted, and nobody else wanted what they were going through. Generally, when things like this happen, the next thing that occurs, because they're not going to stay there, is financial ruin. That followed a bankruptcy. And another thing that is not uncommon in situations like this, there was a divorce between Phil and Claire. This is typically where my story would end. But in my case, the Hinsdale house did not end with the departure of the Dandy family. I think the best way for us to cover this entire story is to make this into a two-part story. This week, we covered everything that happened with the Dandies. Next week, we'll go to the new owner, to Daniel. He has a very different perspective on the things that are occurring and a very different perspective of what's happening now. Hopefully, we'll see you come around for part two when we go into Daniel. Now, I found an interview for Daniel, and much like what we've done in the past on this podcast, we'll be implementing some of what he says into the podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, you did not hit the thumbs up, I would definitely appreciate a thumbs up. Also, wherever you're listening to your podcast, if you could give it that good old rating, and if you've not subscribed to the YouTube channel, definitely hit that subscribe button. Lastly, I have another podcast. If you like hearing stories much like this, it's called Deceptive Reality. I'm a co-host on that with my buddy Nick. And every single week, what we do is we cover a different unsolved mystery. So if that's the things that you enjoy, definitely check it out on Deceptive Reality wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until I see you in part two next week, goodbye.